know she's still here. Let them all think she went back to the University of Wyoming to finish out her last two semesters. Do you hear me? Nobody. The notes make it sound like the killer knows where she is and is allowing her to live as long as we don't keep searching. The guy who killed her mother threatened to kill her too. If he knew where she was, she would already be dead. Heath climbed onto Boots and reined in the lively stallion. Austin wasn't done with this conversation. I can understand why you didn't come forward with what you know, why you didn't tell that sheriff. But don't you think now's the time to give her up so we can protect her from the killer? Let her meet her birth mother? Heath sighed. She won't be easy to convince. She believes she can find out who killed her mother. But you digging into this has stirred up a hornet's nest. She might not realize she's in even more danger. Is that where you're going? To find her? Yeah, I'm worried about her. If she's all right, then I'll leave her there where she's safest. She was riding Amber today. Didn't answer my calls. Though getting a signal in the mountains is tricky. But that's what the radio is for. And she didn't answer that? Heath shook his head. Austin caught the horse's reins. I'll ride out with you. Aren't you on bodyguard duty? I'll be fine, little brother. If I can't find her, then we'll call in search and rescue. If I can, I'll try to convince her to come in. But I'm not going to be the one to tell her about her mother. A woman she adored? That's a hard one to wrap my mind around. And she wasn't even my mother. You've always been the one to protect others. You protected me from Dad. Just please, be careful. Heath's blue eyes darkened beneath his Stetson. Easy enough to see that the guy was beyond worried about Charlie as he rode off into the night. Austin decided he'd leave the barn lights on for Heath for when he returned. He trudged back to the house and found Evelyn had already gone to bed. He headed up the stairs, hoping to find Willow awake so he could share what he'd learned from Heath. He paused in front of her doorway. The lights were off. He pressed his forehead against the smooth white finish and listened to her soft snores. At least she'd stayed. Relief blew through him. He would wait until morning to tell her what he had already known, that Heath was one of the good guys. Chapter 45. Friday, 10:16 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Charlie spotted a quick flash of light in the darkness, moonlight bouncing off a solar panel before it disappeared behind the approaching clouds. The cabin. Though her feet and legs ached, she picked up her pace until she could make out the place she'd called home the last few weeks. If she didn't know her way around these mountains, she would have been in serious trouble. She'd had to stay focused with each step so she didn't trip over rocks or gnarled tree roots or fall into a ravine. The small log cabin never looked so good. She unlocked the door, entered, and closed it before sagging against the cedar logs. That had been a close call. Her phone buzzed. She read a text from Mac. He'd been trying to reach her. He said, "I'm riding out to meet you. Please answer my text." When she'd fled the house, she'd left the stupid radio at the bottom of the closet. The sheriff, if he ventured into the house, might find that. And then what? She quickly answered the text, hoping she could stop Mac before he made the trip. He'd have to get a signal in order to receive her text, though. She could try the sat phone. He'd probably tried her on that, considering this an emergency. If she stood just right in the cabin, she could get one bar on her cell. When his text back to her came through, she breathed a sigh of relief. Mac texted that they needed to talk. She replied and apologized about Amber and said that she would be at work tomorrow. They could talk then. She was exhausted after her 3-hour trek back to the cabin. She'd messed up good this time. Sheriff Everett would call Mac to come retrieve Amber, or would return her himself. Either way, how would Mac explain the horse being on that property? The horse's presence would make Sheriff Everett ask questions. She had utterly exposed herself tonight. But she wouldn't let that be for nothing. She had to be close to finding out who killed her mom. Anxious to look through the bank statements, she would risk using the lamp tonight. Besides, she'd spent several hours walking the trails in the dark when her flashlight gave out. The light would go a long way to boost her spirits. She set the lamp on the table and stacked the bank statements she'd held onto through the cold night. She thumbed through them and found what she was looking for. A deposit once a month for $3,000. That wasn't the money Mama had made from her job at the nursing home. It was from the trust fund she had mentioned. Endeavor Holdings. That told Charlie something and nothing. But who was the money from? Almost 40 grand a year? And why had the money stopped coming through 2 months before someone murdered her? Charlie's feet ached and her shins throbbed. Her head wasn't much better. Exhaustion cut her to the bone. She shouldn't let herself give in to the waves of doubt and regret, grief and sorrow rippling over her, but maybe just this once. She pressed her head into her arms on the table and sobbed. Chapter 46. Friday, 10:34 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Austin gripped his weapon. While he waited for Heath to return, he'd walk the perimeter of the house, make sure no one was lurking in the shadows. He couldn't trust that their stalker would just leave a note this time. Why had his tactics changed? Add to that, they were in Wyoming now, not Washington. Different state, different tactics. He moved quietly downstairs and checked all the windows. Made sure they were locked. Front door, too. The lights were soft on the porch, so the ambience of nature wouldn't be disturbed. Still, anyone approaching could be easily spotted. Austin slipped out the back, where someone could be waiting under the cover of shadow in the forest hugging the cabin. Part of him hoped to find someone. Austin could take him down and get answers, end the threat on Charlie's and Willow's lives. He stood, pressed against the back wall of the house, waiting, listening. The night remained still except for a breeze that pushed clouds across the dark sky that would eventually bring rain. Nothing moved. Not even the forest critters. His sixth sense kicked in. Someone was there. He felt it in his bones. But the person wasn't moving either. He knew Austin waited for him. Would he lose him tonight? Was his presence chasing the man away? He readied his gun. Where are you? A noise drew his attention. Someone approached from around the corner of the house. He hoped it wasn't Willow. She could have woken up, knocked on his door, and discovered he'd left. He whipped around the corner, pointed his weapon, and was met by a burst of electricity that coursed violently through his body, forcing his muscles to contract. He gritted his teeth through the loss of control. Rigid, his body fell back. On the ground, Austin fought the pain and stared helplessly at the masked man. But tasers had AFID, anti-felon identification tags. With each firing, confetti marked with the device serial number released. Cleaning those up would take time. If the masked man even tried, this guy might have just made his first mistake. Still, it wouldn't matter if something happened to Willow. Willow. God, please protect her. The man hovered over him and slammed the butt of a weapon down at him. Everything went black. Chapter 47. Friday, 10:46 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. A shadowy presence filled her dreams, tugged at her awareness. Wake up. The words startled into her mind. Fear squeezed her lungs, forcing out her breath. She gasped for air and opened her eyes. Something pressed over her lips. A masked face filled her vision. Terror raced through her veins. Jerking her head back and forth, she screamed. The tape over her mouth muffled the sound. Nobody would hear her. Help! Help me! God, please help me! Heart pounding. She lifted her hands to fight, but stronger hands pinned her wrists with bone-crushing force and placed plastic ties around them. Her strength was no match for him, but she forced space between her wrists as he secured the ties. His body weight bound her, trapped her beneath him. A knife glistened in the moonlight. An instant before, she felt the sting at her throat. Was this it, then? He would kill her? Then why tie her? His dark eyes remained on hers. The knife was a warning, the same one she thought she'd dreamed about. Saying nothing, he flipped the blanket off while keeping the knife against her throat. A pinprick of pain lanced her neck. Warm fluid ran down the side. He'd drawn blood. His strategy worked. She couldn't move if she tried to. She wanted to ask why he was doing this. All manner of law enforcement would be searching for her. That is, as soon as Austin discovered her missing. Austin. What about Austin? What had the man done with him? Her body trembled as hot tears seared across her temples. She spotted her duffel bag resting on the chair. That wasn't where she'd left it. The bag appeared packed. No, no, no. He was going to make it look like she'd left of her own free will. It would buy him time. No one would look for her if they thought she'd left on her own. If only she hadn't left Austin with the impression that she might leave. In fact, she'd said as much. Hopelessness gripped her. He hovered near her, preparing to cover her head with a dark cloth bag. With her eyes, she pleaded with him. Please don't hurt me. Please don't do this. What could he possibly hope to gain by taking her? He shoved the bag over her head, grabbed her, and tossed her over his shoulder, marching down the stairs with her in a fireman's carry. What about Evelyn and Austin? Heath? Why hadn't they heard the intruder? Were they okay? Please, God, let them be okay. If Austin was all right, this would not be happening. She thrashed against the man's shoulder, jabbing him with her elbows. Maybe he would drop her. She wouldn't make this easy for him. But he snatched her before she fell and squeezed her until it hurt, never saying a word. The man walked right out the front door with her. She tried to gauge where they were headed. If she figured correctly, he was putting her in the back of the Jeep. Austin's rental? This guy had the keys? Her heart twisted. Again, she thrashed. Heath! Where was Heath? His dogs. Why weren't they barking? The man dropped her into the back and closed the hatch. She hit with a thud, the breath rushing from her lungs. She didn't want to be weak. Had never wanted to crumble under the weight of everything that had happened. But if ever there was a moment to fall apart, this was it. Maybe, if she got it out of her system, she could think of a way to escape. Sobs racked and choked her. Willow let the tears come as the Jeep bounced over the rough drive out of Emerald M Ranch. How could this be happening? Why hadn't the man simply killed her while she was still in bed? His motivation was obvious. Without Willow, Austin would stop his search for Charlie. He hadn't been hired by Caitlin, after all. Once he figured out Willow had been abducted, then the search would be on for her instead. All eyes would be focused on finding her instead of Charlie. That gave her hope that Austin might be down, but not out. But then nobody would be searching for Charlie. This man was going to kill her. No, 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 no. Willow had to escape. She had to find a way out. Get out of these ties. But the Jeep rocked and rolled over boulders, tossing her around in the back. Finally, it stopped, and the man got out. He came around for her. If she remembered correctly, there was a deep ravine, a big drop along this portion of the drive. Her jaw clenched with utter terror. He was going to throw her off the cliff? She had to get out of this. How am I going to do this? Kick him in the face? That's what she would do. Kick him when he opened the hatch. All she needed was a split second. The hatch opened, and he yanked her out before she could react, then threw her over his shoulder like she was already dead. But she was still very much alive and would fight. She twisted and kicked. No! Please don't! Why are you doing this? She yelled. He wouldn't be able to understand her muffled words, but he would know she was pleading with him. It made no difference. He continued his hike. Willow wouldn't make this easy for him. She wouldn't let the creep toss her over. Heart pounding, she tried elbowing him in the back. He grunted, but never let her go. It was no use. Squeezing her eyes shut, she tried to escape images of the terror that awaited her. She hoped the fall would kill her quickly, and she wouldn't be left to die in pain. His footfalls crunched over the pebbled road as he carried her to meet her death. Her breaths came hard and fast. He yanked her from his shoulder and dropped her. She expected to free fall, but instead hit something hard, pain seizing her back. The smell of stale cigarettes, burning oil, and gasoline accosted her. The slam and latch of a car trunk confirmed that she was once again in the trunk of a vehicle. In the distance, an engine started. The Jeep? Trees crashed. Had he sent it over the cliff? Her gut tensed and she recoiled. He hadn't tossed her over the cliff. She had a second chance to escape. The car she was in started. As the vehicle traversed the rocky path, once again, her body lurched and rolled in the space. Eventually, the ride evened out. He had driven them from the ranch driveway to the forest road, and finally to the main highway. That much she could tell. Time to get to work. First, She had to get out of the ties, and then she could free her ankles and remove the bag from her head. She had been blessed with small hands. The guy had been in too big a hurry when he was tying up her hands to notice she'd spaced out her wrists to give herself room. She hadn't been able to get it done while in the Jeep, but now maybe she would have time. Willow slowly worked her wrists back and forth until the plastic ties slid off. Yes! Then she ripped the bag off her head and the tape off her mouth. It was too dark to see anything, or look for something to cut the ties from her ankles. She tried to undo the clasp, but it was no use. But she could feel her way around. There had to be something in this trunk. Maybe tools to change a tire could help her cut the ties. She had to free her legs before she bothered searching for the emergency hatch release, if this car even had one. Opening the hatch would do her no good in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, if she couldn't run away. The drive had smoothed out considerably, and the vehicle accelerated. Where was he taking her?
Why, God? Why?
Panic once again squeezed her chest. What would JT do? He never would have found himself in this situation, that's what. When her parents died, she was a child. Their vehicle veered off a bridge and into a river, and she kept asking her grandfather why it had happened. JT shook his head and nudged her gently on the chin, then told her,
"It was an accident, Willow. If something like that ever happens to you, remember to breathe and calm your mind. Come up with a plan, but don't take too long. You have to open the window before you hit the water." Open the window before you hit the water.
She had to open this trunk before it was too late. The tires screeched. The vehicle swerved. Metal crunched. Momentum slammed her against the side. Her whole body ached from the impact. What had happened? Quiet. Everything was suddenly still and quiet. Then a groan. The man grumbled and cursed, spewing unintelligible words except for one. Moose. She didn't recognize the voice, but it was too late now. He would come for her, and she still hadn't untied her legs. Her heart raced as the footfalls lumbered to the back of the car. "Open the window before you hit the water." Willow positioned herself to greet her abductor feet first. The latch disengaged. She kicked out with all her strength, flinging open the trunk. Caught him smack in the jaw. No time to waste. She scrambled from the space to see that he lay sprawled next to a boulder. He must have tripped and fallen over it when she kicked the trunk open and into him. He could be unconscious. Or dead. She wouldn't stay to find out. She hopped around the car to find the front end smashed. She wouldn't be driving her way out of this. But she reached for the keys, searched for something, anything, to cut the ties on her ankles, all while watching the man closely to see if he got up and came for her. He appeared injured, his right arm hanging oddly. She frantically searched the front seat of the car. A knife! Probably the one he'd threatened her with. She grabbed it and cut the ties. She took another quick glance around inside the vehicle and didn't see another weapon, but did spot her duffel. "I'll just take that. Thank you very much." Along with the knife. Willow knew she couldn't physically engage the man, even when he was injured. She had to leave before he came to. She'd take her chances in the Wyoming wilderness. Friday, 11:15 p.m., Grosvenor Wilderness.
Her breaths came fast as she made her way through the woods, hiding behind the spruce and fir trees in her bare feet. She needed shoes. Had he packed those in her duffel? Even if he had, she didn't have time to search. Help me, God. Help me get away. Someone has to live to tell the story. Her poor, tender feet. Pine needles and sticks jabbed her. But she had to keep running. She had to live. She had never wanted to see a grizzly bear in these woods, but she wished for one now, and that it would charge the man pursuing her. A gunshot rang out. Had that been meant for her? She hadn't seen a gun, but he must have had it on him. Willow jostled her way past the trees, low-lying branches slashing her face and body. Darkness engulfed her. Touching the prickly branches and needles, the bark of trees, she felt her way forward as if in a horror flick. She couldn't see a thing. The good news was, her pursuer couldn't see her either. He couldn't follow. Which way should she head? She was more than lost. But then, getting lost wasn't such a bad thing if it meant she was safely away from her abductor. Right now, it was more important to hide and survive the night. She kept moving between the trees and thick undergrowth until she found her rhythm. Her eyes adjusted to the strange, eerie darkness of the forest beneath a thick canopy, as brief slivers of moonlight broke through the clouds. If only she could pick up speed, maybe she could lose this freak. His breathing resounded not far behind. He was still following her? And closing in? Fear clawed at her. I'm doing the best I can, and it's not enough. Jesus, help me! Willow continued until she couldn't take another step. She leaned against a tree trunk, the rough bark pressing into her back, and caught her breath. She had to keep moving. This was her chance to get free. If she could somehow stop this man or pull off his mask, then that would solve one mystery. But it was far too dangerous. It was all she could do to make an escape. So Willow ran, stumbled, and fell. She picked herself up, ignoring the pain in her knees. I can do this. If it's the last thing I do, I can do this. His rasping breaths and curses grew distant as she ran. Light glowed in the forest. He'd finally turned on a flashlight. She had to keep moving. Couldn't let her guard down. But how could she keep up this pace all night? Chances were the man would keep searching until he found her, if he could. And if he caught her, well, she could be sure he would kill her this time. What felt like hours later, but was probably no more than 20 minutes, she finally lost the beam of light. Willow slid down a tree trunk and discovered a hollow. She willed herself partially inside, shoving away images of spiders and creepy crawly insects. Even though the exertion of her escape had her sweating, the temperature had dropped at nightfall, and a chill quickly seeped into her bones. In the hollow, she waited until her breaths finally slowed. The utter silence of night in the national forest closed in on her. No croaking frogs or chirping insects. Along with darkness and silence, cold had settled in the mountains. Willow waited and listened. She wasn't sure how far she'd run. He'd followed her for much too long, before the light had disappeared. She hoped he had continued in the wrong direction. Stumbled over a cliff. She almost laughed at the thought. Better him than me. That fear wedged into her thoughts. She didn't know these mountains and could have easily fallen into a canyon, but she was safe for the moment. Willow fought the tears. This was no time to cry or feel sorry for herself. She allowed the fury to fuel her and grabbed the duffel bag. Quietly, she felt for the zipper and opened the bag. No cell phone, no purse, but she did find her hoodie and another pair of sweats, socks and Crocs. They would have to do. She was unprepared to face off with the wild creatures of the night or the drop in temperature. But if she had to, she could bury herself beneath the pine needles and leaves to keep warm and hide, and try to forget about spiders or ticks. Creepy insects were the least of her worries. With that man hunting her, she didn't know if she would survive the night. Chapter 48. Friday, 11:30 p.m., Emerald M. Ranch. Austin! That voice. That familiar voice. It raked up his back and grated across his nerves. Who was it? A wet tongue licked across his face, slobbering all over him. His heart lurched. Austin groaned. Austin, wake up! A serious throb felt as though it would crack open his head. He slowly sat up, his hands grabbing grass. Timber and Rufus whined and licked him. Are you okay? Heath shined the flashlight in his face, igniting more pain. Temples fracturing, Austin touched his forehead. No, I'm not okay. Images flashed in his mind. Willow! We have to find Willow! Slow down. You have a golf ball-sized knot on your head like someone pistol-whipped you. Heath assisted Austin to his feet. The ground moved beneath him. He pressed his hands against the house. Can you tell me what's going on?
I was hoping you could tell me.
Heath! The dogs found you. Images flashed. He was here, Heath. He got the best of me. Grief and shame twisted together in his gut. He used a taser on me, then must have cold-cocked me. See any confetti? We could track the serial number back to the device's owner. Austin searched his person, then the ground. Where's my gun? Heath flashed his light around.
I don't see markers or your gun. I'm sorry I didn't get back sooner. Charlie texted, so I turned around. It takes a while to get up that trail, especially at night, so I took it slow and easy. I put boots away, but the dogs took off running. They found you. Otherwise, I might not have noticed anything was wrong except for, well, the Jeep is gone.
What? The Jeep is gone? Willow. His heart pounded in rhythm with his head. It was too much to grapple with all at once. Willow? She'd had that duffel bag out to pack. He thought he'd heard her snoring, and that she'd given up the idea of leaving. He'd trusted her to wait for an explanation. Wait. He wasn't thinking clearly. Whoever beat him might have taken her. Dread rose in his gut, threatening to sink him. I have to find Willow. He narrowed his eyes as though the action could dampen the severe pain in his temples as he made his way along the side of the house. Heath led the way to the back and opened the door. The dogs rushed inside the house.
Willow? Evelyn! Heath called.
Austin made his way up the stairs, pushing off the walls when they tilted until he got to her room. He knocked softly, hesitating only a millisecond before cracking it open. Empty. He burst all the way in and flipped on the lights. The bedding was crumpled. Her duffel was gone. Heath appeared behind him.
Found Evelyn. She's still asleep. Must be those new pills for her back. Could I be any worse of a bodyguard? No time to wallow. What do you think happened? Did she leave on her own or did he take her?
Austin frowned.
He was here and got to me first. Whatever happened, we have to find her. I'll call her cell to see if she answers.
I'll call the sheriff.
Even if she left on her own, he needs to know someone attacked you.
Which one are you going to call?
You're on the county line. If he took Willow, they could be headed any direction.
I'll call Sheriff Haynes. He'll likely call other law enforcement.
I have no use for Everett.
Austin grabbed his cell and called Willow. It went straight to voicemail.
If he took her, why did he take the Jeep too?
Heath shrugged.
It's a distraction, for one thing. We don't know if she left on her own or not.
Something caught Austin's eye. He leaned closer to the pillow and ran his finger over the small stain. Blood.
No.
Heath grabbed his arm and pulled him back. It's a drop or two, Austin.
It could be anything.
Regardless, Austin couldn't see straight, couldn't think straight. He stumbled down the hallway to the bathroom, opened the medicine cabinet, and found the ibuprofen. He struggled to get the lid off, and all the pills spilled to the floor. He dropped to his knees, jarring his head again, and pawed at the floor. He only needed four, but his hands were shaking and he couldn't pick up the pills. His vision blurred. He decided to take advantage of being on his knees and began to pray. Beg.
God, when I'm weak, you are strong. Please let that be true, because I can't think. I can hardly move knowing Willow is out there and could be in danger because I failed. But I have to move. I have to act. Give me the strength to find her despite my own failings.
He had to pull himself together. The ibuprofen came into focus. Austin grabbed four. Didn't have time to clean up the rest. Willow was out there somewhere because someone had bested him. He grabbed a cup of water, took the pills, and found Heath pacing in the hall. While his brother rattled off the information to the sheriff's department, Austin headed for his room, where he opened his laptop. Finishing the call, Heath followed him and hovered over his shoulder.
What are you doing, man?
Remember Ralph? That cur dog we had?
Yeah? What's he got to do with anything?
Remember how he kept running off, and Dad threatened us if we let him run off again? So we went in together and got him chipped?
That's only so the dog could be identified if found. You're not telling me you chipped Willow?
Of course not. There was a time or two when I was with the FBI that I wished everyone had a tracking device. One time in particular that he couldn't let go of. And that's what had driven him in his decision. I bought Willow a necklace at Wyoming Silversmith and put a tracker on that. Let's hope she's wearing it. The image on the screen glowed with a red dot. There. She's not headed to Jackson or to the airport. His gut soured. As much as he hadn't wanted her to leave on her own, that would have been a much better scenario.
No, I wouldn't imagine her abductor would take her there. But she's deep in the Grosvenor wilderness area.
Come on. Looks like he's got a big head start on us.
Isn't the sheriff on his way?
Yeah, but he can meet us there and maybe pick up her abductor at the same time.
Heath grabbed Austin, his blue eyes dark and forceful.
We'll get her back, little brother.
With his laptop, tablet, and cell phone in tow, Austin followed Heath out of the house. The only issue would be getting a decent signal out there. But he knew where she was now, and that was something. They climbed into Heath's truck, Let's go, let's go, Austin said. We're wasting time.
God, I can't lose her.
Heath started the ignition and peeled away from the place Austin once called home. He steered down the drive and onto the road.
You'll have to tell me which way to go.
Okay. Let's head northwest once we get to the main highway.
I know that. I know how to get to the wilderness area along the road, but I'm talking after that.
Right. He hoped the ibuprofen would kick in soon.
So, you tagged your girlfriend.
Heath's teasing tone came across loud and clear. Austin tried to ignore the harassment and the pain in his head.
My girlfriend? You've got it all wrong. Tell you what, I'll let you prove that to the both of us as soon as we get her back.
You're on. He stared at the red dot. It stopped.
What? The red dot.
A knot lodged in Austin's throat.
I just realized.
The red dot is not even moving. It hasn't moved since I pulled it up. I don't like this. I'd prefer if he kept going and we caught up with him. But stopping?
He could have gotten to the place where he plans to hide her. Don't think the worst.
But Austin couldn't help himself. A million scenarios ran through his mind about why an abductor would stop in the middle of nowhere. None of them good for Willow. Chapter 49. Saturday, 1:31 a.m., Grovant Wilderness. After Willow donned the extra layers of clothing from her duffel bag, she still wasn't warm enough. Twigs snapped. Leaves rustled. Her pulse jumped. She hoped she melded with the tree hollow, and the dark forest would keep her hidden. Holding her breath, she listened. Blood roared in her ears. Had he found her? Grunting sounds met her ears. A musky scent accosted her.
A grizzly bear? God, please don't let me see a grizzly bear, despite my earlier wish.
A low growl morphed into a high-pitched scream that echoed musically through the woods. Willow released her breath. An elk. Striking terror in her heart, a bulky silhouette blacked out what little moonlight had broken through the forest canopy. The creature was mere feet from her. Releasing another ear-shattering bugle, the bull elk turned, displaying a large, wide rack of antlers. Was she in danger? She turned to stone again.
Please don't see me. Please don't see me.
Willow could hardly believe the size of it. The beast continued forward, moving through the forest. A laugh of pure relief almost escaped. The elk didn't seem to care about her presence. She knew nothing about these animals, but what a moment. She hoped she would be able to share about the experience with Austin. Should she get up and move again, or stay hidden in the hollow? Maybe if she could make it to a high point, she could better see where she was. Yeah, right. And stumble off a cliff. Without a sense of direction, she wasn't sure which way to head. She was truly lost. But that was okay, as long as her abductor didn't find her. Had he finally given up so he could go after Charlie? Oh, Charlie. Again, she thought about what JT would have done in her situation. She pushed herself farther into the tree hollow, packed the duffel bag over her legs, and scooped pine needles over her legs like a blanket. Might as well stay here for the night. Otherwise, she could run into the guy out there searching for her.
God, please hide me tonight. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Help me understand.
Because she didn't understand any of it.
Why did JT have to die like that? Why was she on the run now? Because she'd chosen to find a woman who'd been abducted. And for that matter, why had she been abducted? And why was Austin involved in her life again? Her uncertainty about his presence reminded her of a squirrel flitting back and forth across the road, danger looming with the squirrel's indecision. Yet Willow had no doubt that Austin was an integral part of this search for Charlie. His walking back into her life was by creative design, just like the universe, the forest and creatures around her. How could she be angry? How could she regret working with him? If she had the chance to go back in time and change what had happened between them before, would she? Regret over her mistakes overwhelmed her. Could she even walk through one day without making a mistake? God help her, because if it weren't for his grace, where would she be? Coyotes howled, much too close for comfort. But if they were close, that meant he was likely far away. Still, she shivered with cold, raw fear. Something breathed much too loudly, then snorted. Another animal. Definitely not a man. She gripped the knife she'd taken in one hand, but she wanted a weapon in both hands. She reached forward and felt around in the debris for a stick, a rock, anything. Her fingers brushed up against stone. She dug her fingernails into the loam around the rock and urged it from the earth. If her abductor found her, at least she was prepared to defend herself. A memory flickered through her thoughts. She closed her eyes and let her mind drift back to the day she learned her parents had died. JT was with her, his strong arms around her, holding her. He had to have been grieving himself, but as a child, Willow hadn't known that. She only felt his love for her and heard his whispers in her ear. Remember, Willow, the Lord is your rock and your fortress. He's your savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. Only near the end of the scripture did it sound like JT said the words to himself, to soothe his own heartfelt grief at the loss of his only daughter. Now JT was with his daughter, and Willow was here alone. No, not alone. God is my rock. She held tightly to her weapons and repeated the words silently to calm her fears. Surreal peace flooded her heart, but she struggled to trust it. She should stay awake, remain on guard, but fatigue weighed her down. At least she was safe, warm, and dry. Except, soft raindrops tapped the leaves on their way to the forest floor, the leading notes to a rain shower symphony. Chapter 50. Saturday, 3:36 a.m., Grovant Wilderness. Faint light broke through her lids. Willow shifted uncomfortably beneath the cold, damp leaves and rain-soaked duffel bag, the hard bark of the tree cutting into her side and bringing her back to reality. She didn't want to wake up, not yet. A painful crick ached across her neck and shoulders. Footfalls over pine needles and the rustling of foliage drew her fully awake. The light, a beam from a flashlight. She reached for the knife. Where was it? She found the rock. Panic cinched her throat. The footfalls grew closer and resounded as if he had no intention of sneaking up on her. Willow pressed herself deeper into the hollow, feeling around for the knife as she gripped the rock.
Though her hands trembled, she prepared to fight for her life.
God is my rock.
The beam of light shined in her face, then dropped to the ground. A familiar form moved into her line of sight. Seconds ticked by before her brain registered.
Austin crouched down at eye level and looked at her, his concern overwhelming her. A surge of gratitude swept over her, forcing a tsunami of tears down her cheeks. He reached for her, easing her gently out of the hollow, then lifted her to her feet and wrapped his arms around her. He pressed his face into her neck.
"Willow," he said, taking in a deep breath. It was all she needed. Chapter 51. Austin held her trembling form. Soothing words escaped his lips. He didn't recognize his own voice.
"It's okay. You're going to be okay.
Thank you, God, for letting me find her."
She was all he cared about.
Heath approached, relief surging in his eyes. He kept his distance, giving Austin a moment alone with Willow. Austin never wanted to let her go, wouldn't until she was ready. The rain had stopped, except for latent droplets making their way slowly through the trees. He ran his hand over her cold, wet hair. A new pang hit him in the chest.
"We need to get you back, get you warmed up. Are you all right?"
What a stupid question. He wished he could absorb the cold from her and take all her pain away. Willow was the one to step away. The wild look in her eyes terrified him.
"How did you find me?"
Her soft voice cracked. "I'll explain that later." Her eyes narrowed and she reached for the knot on his head but stopped before touching it.
"What happened?"
He was surprised she could see in the limited lighting. "Nothing we can't talk about later."
"All that matters right now is that you're okay."
Heath stepped up. "We need to head back now. The deputies are looking over the wrecked vehicle. Your abductor could still be here searching for you. There's an injured animal out there somewhere, too." His brother gestured at Willow. "She needs to answer questions. See a doctor." Austin nodded and took her hand. He couldn't help himself and drew her close again.
"I'm so, so sorry. This never should have happened to you."
He held her again, wishing they were already somewhere safe and warm where he could hold her without interruption. That is, if she even wanted him near her now. He could hear Michael Croft's voice again.
"You're fired! Get out! I don't need you!"
He'd found her because of the small tracking device on her necklace, but she had been the one to keep herself alive. With God's help, he was sure. Why had he ever let her out of his sight, trusting she was safe in Heath's house? Or for that matter, out of his life to begin with?
"Come on, guys! Let's get out of here!"
Heath's gruff voice thrust them apart. He grabbed her duffel. Willow turned and stepped toward Heath, then collapsed. Austin crouched to help her up.
"I'm okay. I'm okay. My legs are stiff from sitting in the tree hollow half the night."
Her shaky voice didn't fool him. She was completely drained. Austin lifted her into his arms. At first she protested, but then settled against him. She'd been strong long enough. As he tromped through the woods behind Heath, he imagined the sheer terror she had experienced while fleeing from her abductor. He wanted to ask her questions. Did she see who it was? Could she describe him? What had been his intention? They'd seen the Jeep at the bottom of the ravine, but thanks to the tracker, they knew she wasn't in it. Still,
For a few terrifying moments, he had thought the worst. With her soft form in his arms, the fury subsided, if only a little. He could deal with his failures later, but right now, the vibrant living woman in his arms was all that mattered. Chapter 52. Saturday, 5:32 a.m., Grovant Wilderness. With Willow safely tucked away in the back seat of Heath's truck after paramedics examined her, Austin watched the tow truck mount the wrecked sedan. Two Hoback County deputies conversed with forest rangers next to their department vehicles, waiting for more law enforcement to launch a search for the abductor in the Grovant Wilderness and Bridger-Teton National Forest, though chances were the man was long gone. Willow had answered their questions, but they still didn't know who this guy was. The police said the vehicle had been stolen. Willow believed the collision with the moose had left her abductor with a broken arm, though. That narrowed the suspects down to men with broken arms. Had someone helped him get away? Were two different criminals involved, one in Seattle and one in Jackson Hole, and now coming together for a single final act? Austin was more than eager to be next to Willow again and get back to Heath's house where he could concentrate on her. Rather than sitting up front, he climbed into the back seat with her. Heath had left the truck running and the heater blasting. It was too hot for comfort, but Willow needed to warm her chilled bones. Charlie's in danger. Her still wet hair hanging down the sides of her face, she stared out the window. Vehicle lights illuminated swaths of the two-lane mountain road. Heath climbed into the driver's seat and steered onto the road to head back to the ranch. "Don't you see? Taking me tonight. It was all a distraction. He's going to kill Charlie. He's going after her. We need to get there first. I wanted to tell the deputies that a girl's in danger, but I honestly don't know who to trust anymore. The man after her could be anyone at all, even the sheriffs I already told." Heath swerved into the opposite lane, receiving a blaring horn in response, then back to his own lane. He'd obviously been watching Willow through the rearview mirror instead of the road. "You have some explaining to do, Heath." Willow pulled her attention from the window to stare at the back of Heath's head. The pulsing throb in Austin's own head increased. Why hadn't he brought ibuprofen with him? The minimal relief he'd gotten from the four he'd taken had already started to wear off. "I can tell you what you want to know," Austin said. "I had planned to tell you last night, but when I got back, you were already asleep." He explained everything that Heath had shared, including why he didn't initially tell them the truth. "Would you ever have told us if Austin hadn't confronted you?" Heath glanced to the mirror, then back to the road. "After I talked it out with Charlie, sure. It all happened so fast." She hung her head and stared at her fidgeting hands. "He tried to warn me away, but I just wouldn't listen. And now he's going to find her." "Relax. She works on the ranch," Heath said. "She should be at work this morning. We'll talk to her then. You can tell her everything. He won't find her there." Austin suspected Heath was crazy with worry on the inside, and his words were meant for himself. Heath only tried to convince himself that Charlie would be okay. "Haven't you heard a word I've said? This guy took me tonight to distract you. That has to be the reason. He got all of us off the ranch so he could go after Charlie. He knows she's there. We can't wait for Charlie to just show up at work.
We need to go find her now. Can you call her while we're driving? You need to warn her.
She looked to Austin for agreement.
She makes a good point, he said.
I'll try her on the radio.
While Heath tried to contact Charlie,